Morning, Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Today's daf is Nazir Daf Nuntes. Nazir Nuntes. We actually got onto the Nuntes and Ralph yesterday. We started the Gemara about Le-Silbush, Le-Yilbush. But let's go back to the two dots. I know we started and we're short on time. Let's go back still to the two dots. I want to read the whole Sugi, the whole Gemara of Le-Yilbush together. Obviously, you can have Shirim on this topic alone. But let's try to go through the Gemara again and see, speak out at least some basic ideas. So, like the Gemara, we are on the topic of removing hair removal. So the Gemara segues into the topic of Le-Yilbush Gever with regards specifically to hair removal, and then onto other topics within Le-Yilbush. Amarav, make Adam Kol Gufo B'Tahar. Person back on the Chesam base by the two dots, about 10 lines over the bottom of the page. Make Adam Kol Gufo B'Tahar. A person can trim all the hair in his body with a razor, and he doesn't have to worry about this or Le-Yilbush. Meisvei. Hamavi. Now, what does it mean to be Makel? So, we had to come back in Avdalad, where the Mer discusses that Nazar Eilam is able to be Makel Batar. And we have fundamental machlekes. Taisus learns, what does that mean, Makel Batar? Taisus learns what that means is, he's able to trim, not cut off all the hair. He's trimming his hair. Every so often, discussion how often, every 12 months, every 30 days, he trims the hair. That's Taisus back in Avdalad. Ramam, then learns, means cutting the hair off completely. It means cutting the hair off completely. Let's keep that machlekes in mind as we see the Mer's question. Test the Mer. Taisus, by the way, were right back then, because the Gemara discusses, the Navi discusses, that Avshalom, right, when he rebelled against David, Avshalom, we know, was a Nazir Eilam, and he was Nitla Basari. His hair got caught in a tree and a branch, and the horse kept going, and he ended up being hung by his hair. If he was another Eilam, he was hung by his hair, so Taisus can't be the cutting off all the hair. If he cut off all his hair, there wouldn't be enough hair to get cut in the tree. It must be that it's just a trim. Now Taisus, right, that's a trim. Again, Taisus learns it's a trim. Ramam learns it was a full shaving, a full cutting, a Nazir Eilam is able to cut off all the hair. Let's keep that in mind. As the Mer, it's a question now on Rav. Rav says he could cut off all the hair of the body, but Tar ain't enough to worry about Le-Yilbush. Meisvei, Hamav Beis Tashachi Beis Erev, one who cuts off the hair, the armpit, or the hair, the private area, Hamav Beis Leika, he gets Malkus. Clearly, the Bryce is not like Rav. We know Rav Tato Palak, but we don't want to say that. So, Chor Steer, it's Rav Memra. Answers the Gemara, simple terrors, Habitar, Habmas Brian. The Gemara answers that the Bryce that says it's us, sir, and this Malkus talk about using a razor. Rav's member was talking about with the scissors. But some Rav says, ask the Gemara, Rav Nami, Tar, Bitar, Kamar. Rav himself said that a Makel Adam is called Gufay, Bitar. Rav's lesson was, they can cut off all the hair in the body with a razor. Rav says Bitar, the Gemara says, nah, Kain Tar. Rav meant like a tar, meaning you can cut like a tar, which means like a scissors close to the skin. But Avadi means with the scissors, not with a razor. Okay, so coming out that cutting off all the hair in the body, even for a man, according to Rav, is permissible as long as using a scissors, not a razor. Razor, when the Bryce says Asher and Malkus, it's talking about where there's a razor. The Tziv asks the base kasha. According to Taisus, we could have said a more simple terrence. Rav didn't say you could remove all the hair totally. Makel the matar. According to Taisus, what does that mean? Trim. Trimming is okay. The Bryce that says Hamavir base Sechi base Ervis base Hashechi or base Ervis, where you remove the hair totally. Removing the hair totally, that is an Isser of Le-Yilbush. Trimming it is not an issue of Le-Yilbush. That could have been a simple answer. He leaves the shver. Now, according to Taisus, the market makes such a simple chiluk. According to Rambam, it's very gishmak. Rambam learns that Makel means a lashon of getting rid of the hair totally also, and therefore the Gemara would have to say this chiluk between Tar versus Misbrad. But again, according to Rav, it comes out, trimming is permissible for a male to trim all the hair on the body. Amar b'chir Rabba, Amar b'yechidon, Hamavi beis Hashechi beis Erev Leika. One who gets rid of the hair in the beis Hashechi area, armpit, or the private area, Leika, he is Chayev Malkus. Meisvei, which just fits very well, like the Bryce. Rabbi Yechon is saying almost identical to the Bryce we just quoted. It's the same Lashon. Ask more Stira, Meisvei, from a Bryce, Avaris Seir, Eim Adivri Terah, Elm Adivri Seir. This really is a Stira to the Bryce, the two Bryces alone. The two Bryces are a Stira. One Bryce says that Harez Leika, if you get rid of the hair in the armpit or the private area, you get Malkus. And the other Bryce is saying now, yeah, it's only Medivir, I'm not saying it's Mutter, but it's also Medivir Abanan. You don't really get full Malkus, it's also Medivir Abanan. It's not also Medivir Terah. The Gemara chooses to ask the as a question on Rabbi Yechanan. Again, is he really steering the Bryces? And the answer is going to be the same answer. Answers the Gemara, my Leika, not the Gemara. What does it mean when Rabbi Yechanan says Leika? Medivir Abanan. Rabbi Yechanan says Leika, it meant Medivir Abanan. So too, you can say the Bryce, Leika, meant Medivir Abanan. These two Bryces aren't arguing. They're both saying there is Malkus, removal here, but it's Taka Rabbinic Malkus. Top of Nun Tes Aman Aleph, top line. We went back a little bit. Nun Tes Aman Aleph, top line. Inka to Amri, Amr Chibab, Amr Bechon, Hamavri Beis Shechem Beis Erva, Leika, Mishim Le'ibush, Kevis Amazisha. According to this version, he's saying very clearly that when one is Mavir, the hair of the armpit, or the hair in the private area, he gets Malkus because of Le'yilbush, that sounds like it's Teresa. You can't answer the answer about it. You have Malkus because it's Teresa of Le'yilbush Gever Simlishisha. A man, we see very clearly in the Sugi, by the way, that not wearing the clothing of an Isha doesn't just mean wearing the clothing, it means behavior that relates to an Isha. Beautifying oneself in a way an Isha beautifies herself is also a problem. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, and one gets Malkus for removing the air of the armpit here of the private area. Removal of the ear is not a deraistic thing, it's a rabbinic thing. It's only midrabanan. How could Rabbi Yechon be saying that you get Malkus al Tzliyilbush, which is deraisa? Our answer is we introduce a new deraisa now that says clearly it is deraisa. Who done Kiatana? It's a machlokes tanaim. And Rabbi Yechon agrees to the following tana. When a man removes the hair from his armpit or from his private area, it gets malchus midaraisa. So Rabbi Yechon subscribes to that braisa. It's talking about machlekes braisas, whether it's deraisa or it's drabanan. Certainly it's aser, machlekes deraisa drabanan, but Rabbi Yechon subscribes to the opinion that it's deraisa, it's malchus deraisa. The other braisa holds that it's drabanan. But over here, clearly talking about getting rid of the hair, specifically of the base of shechi, of the armpit or of the private area, we're saying that's something that's unique to women and men don't do that. It sounds like elsewhere in the body, according to this, would not necessarily be usher. Now the tour brings Mishnah to Gainim that what if one taka removes all the hair of his body, all the hair, then he wouldn't be aver, even though he's getting removing the hair of Beis HaShechi, he's removing the hair in, let's say, of his armpit, he wouldn't be aver because it's clearly he's not trying to do l'shem na'i. Removing all the hair from one's body is not necessarily a na'i thing. That's not no longer a na'i thing. That moving the hair in his head also, that's not a na'i thing. That's already for some reason he's removing all his hair. The whole issur is doing l'shem na'i, trying to beautify himself. Once someone's removing all the hair in his body, it wouldn't be a problem. He wouldn't be aver as Isaac the Tur b'shem the gainim. The smag speaks out that that's only when it's with the scissors. Even then, they moving all the hair from the body, if you do it with the scissors, even though you're doing Mesprayim, Ke'en Tar, with the scissors, like a razor, it's going to be okay, because it's all the hair of the body. But if it would be a regular razor, still be usher, even though he's removing all the hair of the body. The Beis Yosef is mefakfek with the smag, but he says that even the smag with the chayr agree, it depends if it's being done for refuah purposes or not. Meaning, even though we're saying we remove all the hair of the body, it's the Torah B'Shea, the Gemara is saying it's clearly not being done for no purposes, and therefore would be usher. Smag saying if it's with the razor, it's still usher. Says Beis Yosef, but if it's for a fua, even the smag is going to agree that it's mutter. Anytime he has to be cut for this, there's various scenarios where here has to be removed either for a surgery or for a medical test. Right? If he has to be removed for refuah purposes, we say that it's going to be permissible, even according to the smag, even if we're talking about with the razor, certainly if doing all the hair in the body, if it's for refuah purposes, it's going to be permissible. Okay, on this topic, actually, let's be a little further, and we'll speak a little more on the din of Le'yilbush. The Tana Kama, ask the Gemara now. The Tana Kama, meaning the Tana who holds that the removing the hair in the body is only drabanan, not deraisa. According to the one that says removal of the hair on the body is deraisa, that's Le'yilbush. Le'yilbush is talking about this din. General beautifying oneself, grooming oneself like an isha is all part of this, so deraisa, beautiful. But according to the one that says, no, that's only derabanan. So what is the iser deraisa? Now, what are you going to say? The simple answer is going to be dressing like a woman. Dressing the exact type of the words. Says Gemara, hi Le'yilbush, kever my Darish be what he starts with it, but it says in the following brisa, lo yeh kli gever al isha. Said the pasuk, the clothing of a man should not be upon a woman. My tam lemosisha im shla yilbash ish simosisha. If the pasuk that teaches us that people shouldn't cross dress, a man wearing woman's clothing isha simos ish, or woman wearing a man's clothing, harik for nemar tevi. But the pasuk says you shouldn't dress in the opposite type of clothing because it's a teiva vein kat teiva. The Gemara is bothered that since the pasuk makes a qualification because it's a teiva. It's nothing. It's not a te'eva for a man to wear a skirt. Te'eva? It's not a te'eva. That in and of itself is not a te'eva. That can't be this, sir. Ella, shle yubash ish simus ish of yesha bein anashim. Fish simus ish of yesha bein anashim. Using this dress as kind of as a guise, using it as a disguise to hang out amongst the opposite gender, which could lead to either issues of ichud, or even worse, getting comfortable with opposite gender and leading towards illicit relations. That's the iser of Le'yilbush. The Gemara, this price is qualifying that stamazo, the dressing of clothing the opposite gender itself is not the issue. The issue is doing it in order to sit and mingle amongst the opposite gender. Abbas Me'akav Eimer, Menayin Shetetzi Yishu B'Klei Zayin L'Mechama. How do we know that a woman shouldn't go out wearing you know, weaponry. So we learn from there that a man shouldn't be wearing a woman's clothing, a woman should be wearing a man's clothing, and the Pasuk also says further that a man shouldn't do any beautifications, he shouldn't beautify himself like the way of a woman. So the Chari is arguing, at least at one point, maybe 2 points. The Buzz Rakam is clearly saying that there's a concern of beautifying oneself. It's not just about wearing clothing to mingle amongst other gender. It's actually beautifying oneself. Like we have the katana on top of them that says it's a zechiv malchus teraisa for a man cutting the hair of the base of shechi or the hair of the private area. Number one. Number two, he also talks about wearing just clay zayin, wearing weaponry. Again, when a woman wears, woman carries a gun or she wears weaponry, that would not necessarily create a situation of mingling amongst the opposite gender, and still it's a problem. So he's the chur taking issue with the Tanakhama of the braisa. Now, a couple of points. Point number one, the Gemara Makkos discusses that if a man takes out white hairs from his head, if he removes white hairs from his head, then he's over Malkus, he's over Chai Malkus for Le'yilbush. And Rambam brings, very interesting, very big chiddush. This is a big topic within Le'yilbush. Rambam brings that if a man removes one white hair from his head or from his beard, he's Chayiv Malkus. And the Rambam takes issue with two parts of the Rambam. First of all, one white hair. A person who has one white hair, you almost never does a person only have one white hair. If he has one, he has many. So doing one doesn't really do anything. So why is that called beautification? Maybe the reason why he's doing it is to try to get rid of the white hair and to look younger. But the bottom line is, he has so many, what's one hair going to do? So Riva takes an issue with the number, the one hair, number one. Number two, beard? Women don't have beard. How can you tell me removing your white hair from the beard? Man is mechuyev for the yilbush, removing right here for beard. The chori is doing something that doesn't apply to women. It's not shayach by women. So seems to be a fundamental argument over here. What's the svar of Rambam, of course? And really, Rambam's Gemara. What's the svar of Rambam and the Gemara? And the first one, I'm bothered. Ravid's addressing his question to Rambam. Rambam's really quoting a Gemara in this case. Makas Tafchaf. What does Ravid do with the Gemara? Okay. But the fundamental different argument seems to be if a man doing an act, which is something that we typically attribute a type of act that's done by women, but it's in a scenario where it's only negev for men, like the beard. Is that still a yilbish because he's doing an act of grooming, which is typically the way of a woman, and therefore it's still a problem? Or since it's not shayach by a woman, it's irrelevant for women to make their beards darker color as opposed to lighter color. Women don't have beards. Therefore, since it's relevant to women, they would not be a but it seems to be clearly machlekes. Ram Raivin, the Achrayim want to say it's actually really machlekes in the Gemara and the Makkos. There's two Amaram there, and the Ram Raivin, it's a major pilpul, are arguing who we pass like from those two Amaram there, but it's really machlekes in Amaram. Again, whether something which is relevant only for a man, but it's an act that's a woman-like act, is that going to be also? Ramam says yes. Raivin clearly seems to be saying no. In general, dying ones here is a discussion in the Achrayim, the place where we discuss about dying ones here. Dying ones here, they have these products that are clearly geared towards men, right? Either whether it's protect hair loss or to dye the hair. They're male products. Now, sometimes they work the same way for women as well. It's just marketing. They market about a woman. But they have products that seem seemingly geared specifically towards men. They can be asked, the clear part of that would be telling them, like, is Rabbi Raivid. If it's meant only for men, according to Raivid, it wouldn't pass. Like, ish, simas, isha. It wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense to be over that issue over here because it's something that's meant specifically for men. It wouldn't pass. According to Rambam, it still would apply. So there's a discussion they're showing him about dying one's ear, if it's considered leibush or not. But when it's something for a fool, we've already spoken out, is more lenient. And therefore, someone to say there's a much bigger kula, if someone turns gray prematurely, very young, maybe that's different. Maybe that can go into the gather of more refuah because it's very, very, very difficult. It's more embarrassing, and therefore maybe over there there'll be more makam to be megal. Now another big discussion over here is about most isurim don't change with time. The Torah, of course, is timeless, and Achas v'Shalom did zirim for a second over here that the Torah is not timeless. It's timeless over here as well. But most isurim, the fact that things change over time in the world won't change the application even of that isur over here by le'yilbush. The isur didn't change. But the fact that things change, society changes, may have certainly play a role in the Isser. For example, the Gemara discusses about not looking in a mirror. What Taisus at least learns in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Taisus learns that there's an Isser for a man to look in a mirror. Listen, man, to look in a mirror, that's considered le'yilbush. The Gemara in Shabbos is mashma, the Gemara in Shabbos says, don't look in the mirror in Shabbos because you make up to cut off a loose hair, and it's mashma beside men, side woman. Taisus says, no, it must be only by women because men can never look in the mirror. That's Taisus Shita. Others already, in the Shurim's time, argue Taisus. The Ran already says back then that, no, since it's normal in our days, the Ran, for men to look in the mirror, it's okay. Meaning, there may be what was a point of time where men didn't look in the mirror at all, only women, and therefore for men to look in the mirror would be an Isser of le'yilbush. But now that men look in the mirror as well, it wouldn't be, since it's normal for society, forget about our great society where men think they're women and women think they're men. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men who are men and women who are actually women. If society changes and people's behavior changes, it wouldn't be considered a man behaving like a woman if it's something that now it's normal for men to do, right? Which plays a big role in general grooming, right? You know, in whether it's manicures, whether it's pedicures, things have changed where men do things now that used to be done only by women. So these types of activities perhaps would not be subject to la'ilvash. The mirror scenario, actually, which again, Taisus brings, that's usher for a man. And Taisus says even more on Shabbos, means dafka woman, not a man. So the Ran already says that it was normal for men to look in the mirror, therefore it's not such an issue. This is the mirror is the answer to a major trivia shayla. Where do we have two things before with the points out of the past? Two things that are usher. Two things that Shacharich brings as Isurim. When you do it together, they become mutter. Opposite of Pasav HaChalav. Pasav HaChalav is two items that are mutter. You merge them together, they become usher. Here you have two things that are inherently usher. You merge together, it becomes mutter. The Gemara Nevei Dezer, there's talk about getting a haircut from a guy. And when a person gets a haircut from a guy, it says he should look in the mirror to make sure the guy is not going to use the knife, the razor, in a dangerous way to harm him. The halacha is, one's not supposed to look. It is brought, by the way. Not looking in the mirror. One's not supposed to look in the mirror. One's not supposed to get a haircut from a guy. One's not supposed to get a haircut from a guy. Danger. One's not supposed to look in the mirror. But if he's getting a haircut from a guy with the mirror, then it's okay. That's a case. He's using the mirror to see if the guy's going to harm him. That's a case where the two Isurim, one complements the other. The fact that he's getting a haircut from a guy. And he has a mirror there. The mirror makes the getting a haircut from a guy matter. That's a case where one Isur kind of is matter the other. Bisman is that clearly the veil takes on that it's okay for a man to look in the mirror. No Isur of Yobush. There's yeshivas over here in Toronto. And there's a yeshiva right by near Lawrence. You have a fair home, a wonderful, upstanding yeshiva. I've been there. You go to the men's washroom, you come outside, you wash your hands by the sink. There's a nice big mirror over there to make sure you look like a mensch. And before you go back into the Spanish to go daven and learn, it's a normal thing. Maybe spending an extended time in front of the mirror, that may still get back to the shul v'yilbush, because maybe that's the norm even today, only for women to do that, not for men. But to have a mirror, it's totally permissible. The hanaga is that for men to look in the mirror is no longer going to be an issue. One more question on this topic. Klei Zayin, we just discussed the woman not wearing, according to Blaz Yaakov, not wearing a weaponry on them, because that's the derech of a man. It's a le'yilbush issue. So Reb Shapsay Rappaport, the grandson of Reb Meisher Zatzal, sent the shayla that if a woman is living in Eretz Yisrael, in an area that's one of the more dangerous areas, settlement, or an area that, you know, there's Arab villages around it where there's concern for safety, would it be a problem for her to carry a gun? And his logic was, he wanted to bring a logic that L'chaira, it's not being done for noy purposes, and therefore maybe it shouldn't fall into the gether of L'yilbush, right? L'yilbush, L'silbush, it shouldn't fall into that gether. So Meisher, first of all, argues and says, noy was only a conversation about certain things. Let's say grooming, the hairs. Gun, wearing weapons, that was just the derech of a man to wear a weapon, not derech of a woman, had nothing to do with noy. So that can't be your argument. He says, however, avada, since it's dangerous, there's a safety concern, whether it's a safety for life or safety just for physical harm, it's a safety concern, and 100% a woman could carry a gun when there's a safety concern. It wouldn't be considered any b'chlal within the realm of this or of the Yiddish. Okay. Amar Nachman. It doesn't matter. Even we said a man cannot remove certain hair in the bodies by the Beis HaShechi, by the Beis HaErva, the man cannot remove the hair, whether it's Rabbanan, whether it's Teresa, that was a discussion earlier, but we said he can't remove it. Comes where Nachman says, when it comes to Nazir, he can. What's Nachman's logic? The whole issue of moving hair from these places is because it's copying a woman, it's copying acts of Nai. Well, guess what? A person's making himself a Nazir, he's not in that realm. Why? He let his hair grow long, and now he's shaving it all off. Shaving up all the hair in the head, again, is typically not considered an act of Nai. So once he's involved in a non-act of Nai, shaving the hair off his head, he could shave the hair off other parts of his body, and we're not concerned that's being done for Nai purposes, and if it's permissible, that's Nachman's Chiddush, that's Nachman's Chiddush, but we don't pass it like Nachman. I'm there, but I'm there. We saw Rabbi Yechon didn't have hair on his underarm, in his armpit. We should be concerned that he removed those ears. I would say it's an Isser, at the very least. Rabbanah, maybe Deraisa. Rabbi Yechon himself, actually, was the one that says, according to the Lashon top of the Amid, that it's Deraisa, according to the gears that we had, the version we had on top of this Amid. Says that Mara, Amr Lahain, so Shem Rabbah said to them, don't worry, Machma Zikna Dashu. It fell out as a result of his age. It's normal that as people age, certain hairs on the body falls out, and this fell out because of his age, nothing to do with him taking it out. Who this? Chayv Nagida Kamei Ravami. There was a fellow who's Chayv Malkus in front of Ravami. There's a fellow who's subject in the court of Ravami to Malkus. Igla Beis Sezechi, in the process of when they were going to be giving him Malkus, his armpit was exposed. Chazed Lay Megalik. And it was no, and it was clear he didn't shave the hair under his arm. Amalei, and Rabbi says, you know what? Shafkoi, leave him. He knows halachas. He's one of us. Leave him. Don't give him the malchus. Now, a couple of points. First of all, it would sound like over here that most people back then were not so knowledgeable and did not know the halacha. Sounds like he didn't shave his armpits. Sounds like most men, or many men, were doing it back then. Simple. Dr. Tiber Judah used to have a similar tzitzal. Used to have a similar diak. But the Gemara discussed about someone who wears tefillin. Someone didn't go down amos without covering his head. That it sounds like they were. It was like a praise for these people that did that. It sounded like Hamanam, unfortunately, or whatever. It sounded like it was very common to go down Amos without a head covering. Tonight we weren't filling all day. Back in the day, it's actually more commonly known that was indeed the case. Tonight we weren't filling all day. Okay, but yeah, similar deal over here, number one. But number two is the Baal Kasha that all the Farshim bothered by. So because he kept this mitzvah, he doesn't get Malkus for that Avera? It doesn't work that way. It's not how it works. The guy was subject to Malkus in the Korah Rami, he should get Malkus. Because he was keeping this din of Le'ilbush, therefore Shavki, leave him alone. So the Pupu Charifta and Mesechtas Malkus suggests, he bothered by this Kasha, suggests that obviously it wasn't a real Chiyav Malkus. It was a Chiyav Malkus Drabbanan. Chiyav Malkus Drabbanan, so we wouldn't have just said, okay, let him go because he's Makbid on the Israel Le'ilbush. No. We're talking about it was a Chiyav Malkus Drabbanan. Since the Chiyav Malkus Drabbanan, we were more lenient. Abu Dei Shas, understand. So what? Even as Drabbanan. Once he's Chayav Malkus Drabbanan, same kasha would apply. It's a nice answer. You lowered it that it's a rabbinic Malkus and maybe the Drabbanan have the power to decide, but still, why would you take it away just because he is good in one area doesn't mean he doesn't need patch in the other area. So Mudeish wants to suggest that Malkus Drabbanan, again, it's not a full change from the Tarets of Pukhurifta. He just elaborates further that Malkus Drabbanan is perhaps treated like Nidu. We had earlier Masechta Darm, we had the idea of putting a person into Chayrim, the idea of Nidai, and perhaps we know there's different, we know that by Nidai there's different guidelines, that a Talmud Chacham or someone of a high stature, we treat him differently with regards to putting him in Nidai B'chlal in the first place, or how strict the Nidai is. So too, maybe when it comes to Malkus Drabbanan, Takat Drabbanan have a different guideline of what's required when it comes to giving Malkus Drabbanan for someone who's already a Chaver, a Talmud Chacham, maybe there's more of a leniency in how to give Malkus. How did the Terence Lemud Eish? David answers that no. He had spoken out certain words that if a layman spoke that way to a Talmud Chacham, it was not Bakavadik, and that's why he needed to get this Malkus, Malkus Marinus. But if he himself is a Talmud Chacham, then he had a right to talk that way, so to speak. There's a different way of talking when two Talmud Chacham talk to each other, or when a layman talks to the Talmud Chacham, obviously it has to be with a different respect, and therefore the same words were considered negative, considered problematic a moment ago, but now that they saw he's a chaver, so now it wasn't so bad. Or in a similar vein, Tfarasim wants to answer this question as well by saying that he said a comment which sounded like it was a negative comment. It was something he said that sounded, or his actions seemed to be a bad action, but it could be interpreted two ways. It was something that was negative, but there's a possibility, a small possibility, that it wasn't negative. Once they saw it's a chaver, they interpreted it in the more lenient fashion, that it must be, he knew what he's doing, and it was the permissible way, not the impermissible way. But Kiddush, this problem to me, of this Pharisee, because if it wasn't clear what he did, what gives us a right, even if it's Malkus Marinus Drabbanan, to give him Malkus, unless we know 100% certain that what he did was absolutely wrong. To say that now that he's a chaver, we'll interpret it as okay. Till then, it wasn't interpreted okay, a little bit of a Kiddush, okay, but these are various answers. Oh, bother, why Shafke, why he got rid of the Malkus.
I was just thinking that maybe Nagid is a Mashma Lashon of Indivri, even not a Rayas, but something being, you know, Ishvi Isha, something that he did that.
The Diak that you're saying in general, which I had as well, I didn't mention it, but I had as well, is Bechlal. You're focused on when the Nagida is a din and was maybe related to Arayas or the like. Stam Nagida could have a Lashon of Malkus Drabbanan. It would maybe faster. Nagida means Malkus. Right? It definitely means Malkus. But over there, Rav Mangan, Mandu Kashabia, that's clearly a Malkus Drabbanan. That's not Malkus Dreisa, that's Malkus Drabbanan. So we see Lashon Negid is associated. So this Teretz Pul Charifta does have a basis in the wording of the Gemara. I think that's a very good deal. Zuck Gemara. Baimene Rav Merabchia. Malagalech, remember Rav was a nephew of Merabchia. Two ways, right? Baimene Rav Merabchia. Malagalech, what's the halach with regards to shaving one's hair in the body with a razor? Amalei, Asr. It's Asr. Amalei. So Rav's back to Chia, Vaka Gadol, but it grows long, and what it means to say, the more first one, what Rav's saying is, it's not comfortable. Amalei, it's meaning it's going to go too long, and it's just going to be uncomfortable to have such long hairs in the body. Amalei, it's not true, it's not what happens. Barpachsi, son of Vray ones, actually again, son of both Rav Chia's father, Rav Chia's brother and sister, they were half brother, half sister, were married to each other, and that was Rav's parents. So Barpachsi, son of great people, Yesh Zman Yeshlei, Kozman Shu Gadol, Neshir. The hair in the body has like an expiration date. It grows, eventually it gets too long. it falls out. It never gets that long. It's a funny shaka b'taya. Rav didn't know the Metzias. Rav was bothered. Maybe Rav had a specific scenario where some of the bodily hairs were growing too long and were talk uncomfortable. And Rav said, don't worry, eventually it falls out. The derech is, and you don't have body hair that's too long. Okay. But Rav, again, another shayla. Ma'alachach. What about scratching the armpit, right? Scratching it with the intent to get rid of the hair. Amalei Aser. That's still Aser. So even though you're scratching it, not cutting it with the scissors, that's still Aser. Bevigdei Mai. What about scratching it with one's begin in order to remove the hair? Amalei Mutter. That already is Mutter. The idea is that scratching it to get rid of the hair directly, that's considered a yipay, like an isha. Rubbing it with a baguette to get rid of it is already too far removed from the derech noy v'nisha, and therefore Chia held it was mutter. Ikadam Rizam say no, that Leah Shaila with scratching with the baguette had nothing to do with removal of hair, rather had to do with tefillah. Baimine, that Rav asked Chia, but tefillah b'vigdei mai, he was not allowed to touch private areas on his body during tefillah. If he does, he has to go wash his hands, he can't daven. What about if he scratches a private area with his clothing? Through his clothing, he scratches an area that's normally covered. Amalei aser. So Rav Chiya said it's taka aser. We pass him that there wouldn't be an issue. It is permissible. Ar Chaim brings lemaisa in Shulchan Aruch that it is permissible to scratch body parts through one's clothing. That's okay as long as there's clothing interposing in between. It wouldn't be a problem for him to do that during davening. Zok the Mishnah. Back to the regular scheduled topics. Meis echamam Mishnah. Meis Echemem, top on base. Meis Echemem, Amar Bishua. We said in the prior Mishnah, you had two Nazirim walking together, and a third person says about to them, one of you became Tamei Tumas Meis. One of you became Tamei Tumas Meis, and therefore you need to do Geluach, being carbon of Tumas, tell you Nazirus again. So we don't know which one it is, so what do? They, in tandem, we said, they bring one set of Karbanos of Tumas, they both do Geluach, and one set of Karbanos of Tara. Because one of them is finishing his term. We assume they're on the same day, and they're finishing 30 days on the same day. They wait until the 30 days. They bring together these two sets of kabbanas. We say whoever's the tar, the kabbanas of tara belong to him, and his giluch is giluch of tara. Whoever's the tummy, the kabbanas of tumma belong to him, and his giluch is giluch of tumma. They then both keep another 30 days, and bring one set of kabbanas of tara. One of them is keeping a new 30 days for no reason. He's already out of his zeros. The other one still needs his zeros. And then the 30 days, again, they bring one set of kabbanas, and they do giluch, and now they're both out of the nazirs. That was the 8th. The problem is, if one of them goes and dies now, one of those nazirim pass away. So you have two people. One of them became tummy, one of them's not. When he has his counterpart with him, they could together pool together money, bring karbanas, and account for all possibilities. But if one of them is dead, what does the other one do? The remaining one, he's a suffix nazir tummy, suffix nazir tar, essentially. That's our, we have a case, we have a guy, a suffix nazir tummy, suffix nazir tar. What should he do? What's his next step? Amar Bishua. You know what you do? Yivakash echem ashuk shi dek negdi ben azir. He should find someone in the market who's willing to pledge his ears. That's perhaps not so uncommon. Find someone in the market who's pledged ears, but over here it's a little more of a chiddush. The guy in the market has to pledge his ears, I'll tonight with him. The guy is essentially going to be pledging his ears, not just for 30 days, pledging his ears for 60 days. He's basically pledging to become this guy's counterpart. And what he's going to say, what he's going to do is he's going to say that, if you're a Nazir Tami now, I'm a Nazir Tar connected to you right now. But if you are a Nazir Tar now, I'll be a Nazir for the second set of 30 days. So he's basically sliding into the place of the other guy. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Amar Bishua, Yivakash Echem Anashuk Shida connected to a Nazir who pledges his ears against him. Vayimer, he says, Im Tameisi, this is the one, the guy that was a Suffolk Nazir, Tamei, Suffolk Nazir Tar, says to this new Nazir, if I was Tamei, Harayat Nazir Miyad, you should be a Nazir right now. And again, you bring the same, we're bringing the Karbanos of Tumah and Karbanos of Tara, done in 30 days, and you're Nazir right now, and this, the Karbanos of Tara will be yours, and Karbanos of Tumah will be mine. Vim Tar, you see, the Mishnah is going to speak that out for us. Vim Tar, you see, if I was Tar, Harayat Nazir Achashashimim, your Nazir only should kick in after 30 days. And therefore, we do as follows. Save Shleishimim, Save Shleishimim, count 30 days, we'll be in Karbanos of Tumah, Karbanos of Tara. You'll be in Karbanos of Tumah, Karbanos of Tara, to end of the first 30 days, Va'emer. And the guy who was for the original Suffolk, he says as follows. If I'm the one that's Tamei, Karbanos of Tumah, Shalcha. If I was Tamei, this Karban Tumah is mine, and the Karban Tara is yours. And you finished your set of Naziris that started right away. V'im Aniwa Tara, but if I was Tar, and it was the deceased guy that was with me who became Tamei, so I was Tar, my Naziris Tara was already done. So the Karban Tara Shali, the Karban Tumah is Suffolk, keywords. The Karban Tara is mine. And the Karban Tumah was only being brought to Suffolk. No one needs it. Not me, not you. None of us need it. That's the downside of this case as opposed to the last case. The last case, we know for sure one of them needed a Karban Tumah. Over here, no one needs it. It's being brought to Suffolk. the Seferim Shleishim. We have the Fushayim discussed already that's being brought Pesafik. What does that mean? So the Chayyur, we had earlier in the Masechta, we had that the Karbonis of a Nazir who is Tame are Chatas and Eilos Aif. Eilos Seif is for sure Baba Nadava. Eilos Beim is Baba Nadava. Even Chatas Aif, even Chatas Beim, it cannot be brought as a voluntary carbon. Chatas Aif can be. In a Matzav Safik, Chatas could be brought as a voluntary carbon. There's also discussion what happens with the Asham. What happens to Asham? Pashas Asham is taken out brought. And it's not Makiv. It can't be brought because you can't bring an Asham and a Dava. But it's not brought, but it's not Makiv. That seems to be, that's the Mahalach of the Rishayna over here. The Rosh discusses it. Okay. Says the Mishnah further. The Sefer Shalashim then count another 30 days. That they both act as a Nazir. Moving in Carpentara, you bring one more set of Carpentara, Vaimer. And the guy who, the original guy who was Masafik Tumma, says as follows, Imani Tame, Hatame, if I was Tame in the first round, Carpentara, the Carpentara was mine, the Carpentara Shalcha, and the Carpentara was yours, Vizek, that's all from the first round, Vizek Carpentarasi. And now from this round, this single Carpent of Tara is mine now. Vimani Atar, if I was Tar initially, so the Carpentara back then was mine, Carpentara was no one's, and the Karmatara Shleiv, Karmatumma Besafik, the Karmatara back then was mine, the Karmatumma was Besafik, was our Karmataraska, and the Karmat now of Tara is yours. That is all the Eitzah of Rabbi Yeshua, basically getting someone else to get on board and pledge Naziris alongside. Says Rabdeis, says Ben Zema, it's a nice Eitzah, but it's very not practical. It's one thing to get someone to be willing to pledge Naziris to help you out, but to pledge 60 days in Naziris, and he's only keeping 30 days, and he's going along with this whole story, that's not so likely. Amalei ben Zema. He's not even arguing on the mechanics, whether the system works or not. He's arguing just on the Metzias. No one's going to agree to do this. You're giving an Eitzah that's such a far-fetched Eitzah. Is someone going to agree to be a Nazir Kenegdei, like we're pointing out, in this weird fashion that he's keeping 60 days, only 30 of it is real? Ella, you know what he does? This guy who's a Safik does the following. Maybe Chatasayif Elis Abehema. He brings his Chatasayif, he brings Elis Behema. So, Dice points out actually that he also brings Elis Aif as well, because again, Elis Aif, just like Elis Behema, can be brought as a voluntary carbon. So if I'm Chayiv Al Nazir, great, if not, it's a voluntary carbon. So this is Chatasayif, can even be brought Misafik, and the Tzadi was Tameh. So he brings the Chatasayif, brings Elis Behema. Vayim, and he says as follows. If I was Taka Tamei, Chatas is part of my actual Chayv now, and the Eila is a Nedava, the Eilas Behema is a Nedava. Eilas Eif, which again, Tayyip says wasn't mentioned, but of course being brought, is also part of my obligation. And the Asha Batak leaving out. And if I was Taka Tar, the Eila is part of my Chayv, and the Chatas is Ba, Masafik, Shab Mosul could be Ba, the Nedava as well, so Shab Mosul would not be a problem. But I take it back, we don't bring the Shalom yet, we'll see. Shalom is going to come, he waits anyway. No need to bring it now. Just bring Shalom at the end of 60 days where it's for sure needed. The Sefer Shalom, maybe Karmatara. He then waits 30 days and he brings Karmatara. Namely, he brings the missing Shlomim that he hadn't brought yet. Vaymer, im Tamei Yisi, Ha'ila Rishayna, Nedava Vezucheva. If I was Tamei Taka, the Ha'ila originally was Stam Nedava, and now my new Karmatas Tara, my new Ha'ila, and my Shlomim, these are my from obligation. However, Vim Tar Yisi, I'll start the first time, Ha'ila Rishayna, Cheva Vezun Nedava. The original Ha'ila is my Cheva, and what I'm bringing now is the Ha'ila bringing now is Nedava. And the shlamim that I'm bringing now is the rest of my carbon. So Rabbi Shua says, Nimsa said maybe Kabbalah Sachatzayim. Very nice Eitz of Bishua, the one who gave the other Eitz about getting someone else to join in and pleasure Zerus. Bishua says, your Eitz Ben Zema has him splitting his shlamim from his original, from his Chatas and his Eila that he already brought 30 days ago. He's splitting the carbonus of his Zerus Batari. He's splitting it up by 30 days. Avil. Says the Gemara, so what? The Chama made the Ben Zema, even though Ben Zema, the Rishu had this issue about splitting up the Kabbalas, the Chama made the Ben Zema, says the Gemara very quickly, Velaisi, nu, let him bring the Kabbalas in piecemeal. Let him bring it separate. What's Taka Rishu's issue? Gemara says, you're right, it wasn't an issue. I'm reading Rishu, Rishu was just trying to sharpen the Tabidim to see him say, nu. Let's make sure they know this stuff. He said, you bring in a chatzayin as if it's for sure an issue. Let's see if they can answer a person, a rabbi's letter, bring down a question or a mistaken question almost to try to sharpen the medium, to trick the medium to see if they're on top of their game. Amar Nachman. Maila Avid Le Rabishua Ladake Laylashru. What's Rabbi Shua going to do for the intestines that they don't spoil? Meaning, it's a very interesting question. Rabbi Nachman is saying that according to Rabbi Shua, that you bring someone else to come alongside him to join in and bring carbon, and they're going to shear the carbon, there should be a concern that when you shech the carbon, first point out, apparently the intestines used to spoil very quickly, especially in the summertime, very quickly. If you're not able to have the carbon for sure belong to person A over person B, and you got to wait. If you have to wait for the other person to catch up, the assumption is maybe they weren't finishing their 30 days at the same day at the same time. So if you have to wait one for the other, the intestines of the carbon may spoil in between. That was a question that they asked, a technical question that Rav Nachman asked, according to Rabbi Shua. A good chiddush. Have a wonderful day. Pick up for tomorrow, Hashem.